This is where we hope technology works. And I turned up at a church one time to do a presentation, and they said, "Oh, no, the computer's not working." And that's a challenge. Okay, then you got to go, now how well did I prepare? And what can I remember? But these days, with the wonders of modern science, do I have to do something, or are you going to take care of it? No good asking me. Try banging on it. I can do that. Will that help? Well, it's on here. They put it in a different side. See, I'm used to this side over here. Now, when you stick it in this side over here, it always works. Do you want me to swap it over? Anyway, let me tell you what I'm going to talk about today. So, just in case we don't get anything, all right? You know, it is when you're old, like I am, really old, you've come through a lot of hymns. Over the years, you've sung a lot of hymns. And some of them stick in your mind, you know, and you just, they keep coming back. And one came back this week, and it was kind of the, I suppose because of the subject I was going to talk about. I'm going to talk about assurance. And there was a song we used to sing called "There's a New Name Written Down in Heaven." And it's mine, or there's a nodding head. You remember that one, yeah? And it's mine, or yes, it's mine. And, hey, there we go. Excellent. Thank you. And I just thought, yeah, you know, it's funny that we think about our salvation, and we think about the fact that we are right with God, except we're sinners, and so we're constantly having that battle. And I know that a lot of people struggle with their sin, and they you know, has God really got it covered? And the answer to that is yes. This all started for me a long time ago. I met a man. I'd been preaching and met a man after church, after we'd finished, we're having a cup of tea, and he said to me, "Well, I don't agree with what you were saying in there." So I said, "Well, that's not unusual. You know, I get that quite a lot. But it's not me that's saying it. I nearly always use the scriptures." And he said, I lose my salvation all the time. And I said, "Well, that's the problem, isn't it?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Because I sin. So when I sin, I'm unsaved, and you have to pray and ask forgiveness, and then you're saved." And he said, "Sometimes I get lost and saved four or five times in a day because I think a bad thing or have a bad reaction." Or something. And I said, "Well, that's not scriptural." And at that point, he got angry. And I don't know why people do that, but they do, don't they? When you tell them the Bible says this, they get angry. Anyway, I thought about it for quite a long time. It's one of those things that when you have that connection with someone, you go, wow, you kind of, there's two thoughts. First of all, you want to grab them, you know. And the second is you feel compassion, because here's somebody who's getting lost and saved four or five times a day. This is sad. We have to rely on the Word of God. Amen? Let me say that again. We have to rely on the Word of God. Yeah, thank you. All right. Just because if we don't rely on the Word of God, we're going to be in strife. And so God gives us assurance constantly. And so I hit the right button, hopefully, which is that one. And so we're going to look at the Old Testament. So if you want to have a look in your Bible, just to make sure I'm telling you the truth, I'm very happy with that. Don't worry about that at all. But this is Malachi. And there's three verses here I want to take a look at and come to some conclusions that we can't refute. Now remember, this is Old Testament, okay? The Savior is promised, and it's futuristic. And so here we're talking about Old Testament saints, and we're talking about how they had faith in God. And so let's put ourselves in that environment just for a minute. And remember, the Savior's promised, you know, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, he's coming. And they're looking forward to that. And that's part of their faith system. And so here in Malachi it says, "Then they that feared the Lord," now that's us. Okay? If we are truly saved, we have a fear of God. Not that we're afraid of God, but we wouldn't want to do anything that would put us on the wrong side, out of favor with God. We wouldn't want that. And so they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and look what it says. The Lord hearkened. He hears everything. Now, we worship an omniscient God, a God that knows everything. We worship an omnipresent God. He's everywhere present. Nothing escapes him. And what's interesting is that he hears it and it's recorded. I say that because it says, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Now, you go to any funeral, and nearly always there's a book of remembrance. And inevitably, people get up and tell you about the person that's passed away. I've noticed that it's always the good stuff. They never stand up and go, well, he was an absolute horror. You know, and I hated the way that he spoke to his wife. And, you know, it was really, he was a nasty piece of work. Nobody ever says that. When you did, all is forgiven. Okay? And here we have a situation where Malachi is saying, look, God knows everything, knows all about you. Everything is being remembered because you had a right relationship with him. And so we see that everything is recorded. Now, this comes up again in the New Testament in Revelation. And here we see that there's two books. So there's one book and there's another book. And so nothing is missed. Now, I was treasurer for many years, and I'll tell you what, you can't miss anything. You miss a bill, and someone's going to tell you all about it. And so, you know, you have to make records, and you have to keep account, and so on. And here we see a situation where God keeps records, and he keeps books, and things are judged out of the book. So when we go to be with the Lord, two things has happened. It's going to happen. One book is going to be opened, or another book is going to be opened. And that's a fact, and that's just the way it is. And God knows everything. He's all-knowing. And so we have to understand that everything is recorded. And if we are his children, if you are saved, if you have accepted Christ as Savior, then your book is written down in the book of life. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I can have confidence because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know that my name is written down in heaven. And you can have the same confidence. Now, that poor man that kept losing his salvation hadn't read his Bible and didn't understand what was going on. That's why I like to sing that song. It's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come. I'm a sinner, yes, but I've come home to my Savior. And in Malachi it says, and they shall be mine. And in that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I love that. Now remember, this is Old Testament. And so the firstborn son, the father always was in charge of the spiritual well-being of his family. And his firstborn son would inherit that responsibility, would inherit the family wealth, would inherit everything. And that was a spiritual as well as a physical requirement. And so when we get to heaven, there's no male or female, we're all sons of God, all right? And you can't get excited about that. The feminists need to be quiet because you're a son of God, whether you like it, whether you don't. And that's just the way it is because we are seen positionally as sons of God because we are saved. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. We are his jewels. When we accept Christ as Savior, we have become like a jewel, a precious soul for Jesus Christ. And so we are his sons. We are his children. Then, says Malachi, ye shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. We know that there will be a second coming. Jesus Christ will come in glory. and there'll be a reckoning. But there's a reckoning for everybody when we die, between him that serveth God and him that does not. God knows who are his. He doesn't have a memory problem. He knows who are his. And the gospel is just so simple, you know, that even a child can understand it. And I love it when children get saved, because then they don't have all the hang-ups that we had. I wasn't saved till I was 33. So I had a few hang-ups to get over, okay, once I got saved. But it's lovely when they get saved early. And we know how simple it is. Our salvation is so simple that even a child can understand it. It's just faith and believing, and it's not complicated. And someone said to me one time, oh, you know, religion is so complicated. Well, religion may be complicated. Salvation is not. The thief on the cross understood that. He had no religious instruction whatsoever. He said, remember me, Lord. And the Lord said, this day you'll walk with me in paradise. The Lord had no problem understanding where that heart was. And this was a sinful man who said, I deserve to be on this cross, all the things that I have done. But he was sorry for his sin, and he was forgiven. It's simple. Very simple. So, if we have called upon the name of Jesus Christ to save us, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And there is no issue about who is saved and who is not saved. I love what Christ says. My favorite chapter, if I had a favorite book, it would be John. And if I had a favorite chapter, it would be chapter 10. Because I love the shepherd and the sheep. And the way that God explains our relationship. And he will take care of us. And he has recorded all of the things that are needful to know about us, and to know our every thought, and our every, just the way we are, and the way we think, and the way we operate. And once it's given, once we have eternal life, you can't lose it. It can't be lost. We are sealed, and I love that expression. I just love that whole concept of, you know, in the old days they used to have letters and things, and they pour the wax. I'd love to have my seal, you know. If anyone makes those, make me one, okay? I'd love it, because I'd buy the wax, because you just, it's sealed. Now, no one can open that except the name that's on the, you know, because to do that is to break the law. And so I love that whole concept of something being, we are sealed in heaven, not here, in heaven, sealed. And so, and who does this? Well, this is God doing this. You know, this is not us doing this. This is a spiritual sealing that nothing can disturb, nothing can upset. It's fixed. It's taken care of. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow makes no difference. It's taken care of. We are anointed, and we are sealed, and we are given the earnest. I love that word. Doesn't happen here, but in America, if you want to buy a house, often you have to put down an earnest to show that you're earnest about buying the house. And often it is $1,000 or $2,000. It's a non-refundable deposit. You don't get it back. It's an earnest to show that you're serious about buying the property. And it's gone. So once you do it, you have to be sure that's what you want. So I love that whole concept of being a non-refundable deposit. And God's done it. God's sealed us. God's anointed us. God has given us a Holy Spirit that indwells us, that says we cannot be separated from God. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit is that promise, and it's a wonderful thing. A non-refundable deposit. God's not going to change his mind as far as your salvation is concerned. And who shall separate us from? You know, it's interesting, isn't it? It doesn't say what. What shall separate us? It's not what, is it? It's who. See, it's people, eh? It's people. And often it's people that you know, you respect and so on, and they say something, and you go, well, you know, trying to undermine your faith. No, don't let them, okay? Bible's not going to change its mind. God's not going to change his mind. Nothing, whatever situation you come into, or whoever you meet and whoever you come in contact with, nothing's going to change God's mind. We are his by faith. And nothing can change that. It's solid. There's an old preacher called Vance Havner, and I love his stuff. I've heard him speak. He's on the radio sometimes. You can tune up and listen to him. Way gone to glory now. But I love this saying. This is so relevant to every single Christian person. If you're a Christian, you're not a citizen of this world. Okay, it's already taken care of. There's a new name written down in glory, and if you're saved, it's yours. And it cannot be changed. And we're just trying to get through this world with the difficulties and problems. And you know, we're told there's going to be trials. We're told there's going to be temptations. We're told there's going to be trouble. The Bible tells us all those things. But faith will get us through it, because God's not going to change his mind if you are one of his. He's able to save them to the uttermost. I love that. Uttermost. We don't use words like that anymore, do we? But we should. It means it doesn't matter what goes on in your life. God's going to save you because of your faith. Not because of anything you've done, but your faith in Christ saves. And it's not a temporary thing. You know, Jesus Christ intercedes for us. He's our mediator. He's working on our behalf. He knows you, and he loves you, and he wants the best for you, regardless of the situation. And he makes intercession for us. And I love this in Kings. In Kings here, there were some difficult things going on in the nation of Israel. But God was not going to leave them or forsake them, because he had a plan. They were his chosen people, just like we are his chosen people. We are the same. We've accepted Christ as Savior. We are chosen of God. We are sealed. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't change your minds, and don't be confused, and don't be upset, because everything will come to pass as God has told us it will. We can have confidence in the Word of God. And then we can praise God for what he has done for us individually. And it's lovely to, as a church, isn't it? To praise God for what he has done for us. And we should never forget the blessings that are ours in Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. What a privilege it is to know, Lord, that we are safe and secure in the hands of Christ. And Lord, that nothing can change that situation if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, if we have confessed our sin, and we know, Lord, that you will save, just as you saved the sinner on the cross next to you. We can know that we are safe and that we will walk with you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.